I'll tell you something that really happened to me that really changed the way I think. I know God has to do this with all of us. But one night I was driving my little 71 Toyota on a Friday night at 9 o'clock, and the car quits running. And so I pull off into a parking lot there under a street light, and I get out and I take the air cleaner off, take the gas line out, and have Betty turn the car over, and no gas comes out. So me being the great man of faith that I was not, I said, oh shucks, here I am in Granbury at 9 o'clock on Friday night in a foreign car with a broke fuel pump. I said, Lord, I'm dead in the water. What am I going to do? How many of you ever talked to God like that, not expecting him to answer? But he answered me that night. He said, son, did I not say in my word you could ask for anything and I would do it for you? Did he say that? Yes. I mean, how many times did he say that? A bunch, didn't he? He didn't just put it in there once or twice, did he? He said, as children of the King, we can ask the Father in the name of Jesus for anything and he will do it for us. Is that what he said? So he said, did I not say in my word you could ask for anything? I said, yes, Lord, you did. He says, well, so what are you going to ask for? What do you want? Isn't that amazing? So I said, Lord, I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need enough gas for this car to run 50 miles an hour till I get my wife and kids at home. I said, tomorrow I'll put a new fuel pump on it. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. Now, do I have to believe that with no doubt in my heart? Yes, I do. That's a kicker right there. I got to believe that with no doubt. If he just told me, and that really was the crux that kicked me on, whenever I believed that, I put the gas line back in and tightened it up. I put the air cleaner back on and fastened it all down. I shut the hood, walked around, put the tools up, sat down in the car, reached for the starter. And Betty says, what are we going to do? I said, we're going home. She said, I thought you said the fuel pump don't work. I said, it don't. And I hit the starter and it started. And I backed out. And of course, I don't think she said a word until we got home. Not one. She was so dumbfounded at what she saw. I don't think she could talk. The only thing spoken that night was between me and God and the devil after that. And I fought a battle between the devil and God, trying to stay in faith. But I drove that car out to the edge of town, and I got up out on where the speed limit went up to 55. I drove up to 50, and it would run 50 on level ground. And I thought, that's strange. I got it on the floor, and it only runs 50. And then I went up a hill, and I went over the top of the hill to 50. And then I started down the other side, and I get to the bottom with it on the floor, and I'm running 50. And I said, Lord, this don't make no sense at all. I said, I'm an engineer, I'm a mechanic, everything, and it takes a lot more gas to run uphill 50 than it does downhill 50. Why will it only run 50? He says, son, you asked for 50, and I am not a shotgun blast God. I give you exactly what you asked for in faith. You asked for 50, and that's what you get. Nothing more, nothing less. You talk about changing the way I looked at things. I am not a shotgun blast God. You don't just say, Lord, I need to be healed. He said, I want to know what you need to be healed of. I want to know when you want to be healed. I want to know everything about it. And then I got something to work off of. Well, let me tell you, that changed the way I think forever. After that, when I pray for you, I pray in faith. Just like the young boy, he was in here last week and he was in here week before last. And he came up week before last for prayer. And I prayed for him, making sure he repented of all sins, and he believed and everything, and he said he did. But the next Sunday, which was last Sunday, he was back again to be prayed for again. And in the line, it was pretty long. So between the time I was praying for people here and before I got to him, he had to go to the bathroom. So he went to the bathroom, and on the way to the bathroom, he's asking the Lord, Lord, I know Thurman prayed for me in faith last week. Why didn't I get healed last week? And he said, the Lord spoke to me clear and said, because you didn't believe last week. Is that right? That's what the Lord told him. The reason you didn't get healed last week, it wasn't Thurman's fault. It was your fault. You didn't believe last week. That's why you didn't get healed. So he told Cheryl now that story. When he got up here to pray, he said, I know why I didn't get healed. He said, I didn't believe. He said, I thought I did. I said, well, you know what you think? You got it in your head. You think you're healed. But I said, you hadn't spent enough time with God in the Word. And so it's not in your heart. He didn't say you had to believe in your head, did he? He said, you got to believe where? In your heart. You got to believe in your heart. And if you're not in the Word, it's not in your heart. You have to be in the Word. Ephesians chapter 1. He has showered us with His kindness along with all wisdom and understanding. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ. You know, I didn't know God had a secret plan. You know, I was in the church. I'd accepted Jesus. I'd been a Sunday school teacher for years, and I had no idea that God had a secret plan. One day, I finally got it. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to His good pleasure. Now, of course, the problem here is this secret plan is only revealed to us in almost every book in the New Testament. So it makes me wonder how I missed it so long. It's not just in the book of Ephesians. And this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Book of Colossians says, and this is a mystery that was hidden before the foundation of the world, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the secret plan was that God was going to come to this earth through His Son. He was going to be one holy man that was going to regain the title back to the earth because He had given the earth to humanity. And humanity gave it to the devil. And Satan became the god of this world. He was in control. And so he went around killing us anytime he wanted to because he had all authority and power over us. And people hated it. But when Jesus came as one righteous, holy man. And the devil did everything he could to deceive Jesus, like he did Adam and Eve. But he couldn't do it. Jesus would not listen to the devil at all. And finally, the devil says, okay, he's the only Son of God. There will never be another one. So although he hasn't sinned, we're going to kill him anyway. When we kill him, then it's over. There will never be another Son of God. I will be the ruler of the earth forever. It'll be mine forever. And that's what Satan thought. He didn't know the secret plan. So he killed Jesus. That was part of the plan. That Jesus would pay the price for the sins of mankind. And so he did, and then he went to hell, and he was down there in that place for those 3 days. And then it says, and because there was no sin in him, death could not hold him. So the Father raised him from the dead. Can you imagine this party that Satan and his host are having when Jesus is there and they're tormenting him and everything and saying, now the world is mine and you have lost it. You're the only Son of God. And because there was no sin in him, all of a sudden after he paid the full price of every one of our sins, the Father raised him from the dead and he stood up. Can you imagine the terror in the devil's eyes when he walked over and grabbed him by the nape of the neck, throwed him on the floor and put his foot on his neck? Said, now then, I'm taking the keys of death, hell, and the grave. They're mine now. I've won this battle. And then he comes back to the earth, and he tells man what he's done, and he spends 40 days on earth and resurrects all the other people that have died believing that he was coming, and he took all of them after 40 days, and all of them went back to heaven. Matthew 27:52 says, and after Jesus' resurrection, the graves were opened, and many people were raised from the dead. 27:52. So he took them back to heaven, and then after he did that, Satan is trembling because he don't know the plan. What has happened? Well, at least he's not on earth. But then he hears about the plan. Everybody that will believe in me has the privilege to become sons of God. Uh-oh. Now he hadn't got one son of God to deal with. The first day when Peter preached, 5,000 people come into the... He's now got 5,000 sons he's got to deal with. Uh-oh. Is he in trouble? But he's done a good job deceiving us. You know that? Just think of the tens of thousands and millions of Christians on the face of the earth today. If we really knew the Word of God, there would be no sickness in the church. We wouldn't need any kind of medication, no drugs. We wouldn't need not one single one. We would walk holy and clean and pure. And when we spoke in the name of Jesus, we would have complete dominion and authority and power. And there's not one thing Satan could do to touch not one single one of us. Our children, none of our children would be sick. None of them would be handicapped, mentally retarded or nothing. Just like God says, if you will do walk in obedience to my word, I will bless you and your children. And your children will prosper and there'll be wealth among the whole family. All that's written in the Psalms. I just read it again today. It's amazing if we only knew who we are as sons of God. Wow. All this power and all this authority belongs to the children of God. What's possible with God? All things are possible with God. He said He'd come to give us life and give it to us abundantly. Is the average church member living the abundant life? He's not. He don't know about it. You know, he don't spend enough time with God. In fact, I talked with one out at the airport yesterday for a couple hours. And when I asked him a question, I said, well, this requires being in the Word. He said, that's the problem. That's the problem. I'm not in the Word. I said, well, that's the problem. I said, if you want to walk in obedience to God's Word. And of course, he kept saying, I ain't never seen nobody like you. I said, you can be just like me. He left, and I was working on the airplane, and it wasn't 15 minutes, I guess, that I saw his car come back. He said, I went home and got my wife. I want her to meet you. I said, well, praise God. I said, well, y'all coming to church tomorrow? He said, we're coming. I said, okay. In fact, his wife said, I knew he had done something because when he walked into the house, she said, I've been trying to get him to go to church, and he will not go. He walked in the house and said, honey, first thing he said, we're going to church tomorrow. So look at what's available to us. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us from the beginning, and all things happened just as he decided long ago. It was God's purpose. God's purpose was that we who were the first to trust in Christ would praise our glorious God. I went to a church a lot of years of my life that I never saw one single person raise their hand praising the Lord. At a little Baptist church, there was a couple there, and his wife was sick. So they didn't tell me that, so they started coming to my Sunday school class. And lots of times we'd stay an hour or two after church, and we'd sit and talk about God's Word because she was so sick she wanted to be healed. One night we were teaching. It must have been 9 o'clock at night. We were up there way after church. She said, do you have an anointing oil in your car? I said, I do. She said, go get it. I said, what are we going to do with it? She said, you're going to anoint me with oil. I'm going to be healed tonight. Do you hear any faith in that woman? Yeah. So I went and got my bottle of oil, come back, anointed with oil, broke the curse over, cast the demons out of her. And I said, it's done because it's written. She said, I guarantee it's done. She said, I am on like 25 medications right now. So she said, I'm going home tonight. I'm going to dump every one of them in the toilet. And so she did. And a couple of days later, she went back to her doctor and she said, Doc, I just want to call you and just tell you that on my appointment, I'm not taking any medication. Last Sunday night, I dumped them all in the trash and I will not be back. He said, ma'am, you can't do this. He said, you cannot get off all these drugs instantaneously. It will cause all kinds of problems. She said, no, I learned what faith is. So this is a man that taught me what faith really is. And he said that God said in his word that there ain't nothing impossible if I believe. And so she said, I believe. I flushed all them things. And she said, don't look for me back. I will never come back. I am totally delivered and completely healed in the name of Jesus Christ. He paid the price for me. And this man showed me it belonged to me. And so she said, I'm through with this. Well, it wasn't but about a month or two or three. She was totally delivered.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled I Am Not a Shotgun Blast God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.